And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we come your way every Saturday. I noticed I just said we. I went from singular to plural. That's a phenomenon on radio, I gotta tell you. Anyway, we're here every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. We archive our programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. So when this program's over, you'll be able to listen to it again and again and again and glean just as much as you can from it or any of the other programs that we have here on the Tell Me Your Story website, which is richarddugan.com. It's always a pleasure to come to you to bring you information, insight, education, have a little fun at the same time, because what's life without having some fun and joy and happiness in your life? We've had on and off throughout this last 4 months of summer, as they call it, a lot of cool weather here on the Central Coast, a lot of fog or marine layer. And I have to say, I've loved it. Of course, I'm from Phoenix, and anything down below 70 degrees, I love. So here we are sitting in 65-degree weather with sunny skies and a little fog on the fringes, and it's just been a beautiful day, and I certainly hope that your day has been beautiful, and we're going to try to make it a little more lovely by helping you learn how to heal others and heal yourself. Does that phrase ring a bell to you? I hope it does, because 1 year ago we had, as we approached, or actually we were into our second year, we are now into our third year of broadcasting Tell Me Your Story. We have with us, for a return visit from 1 year ago, Dr. Eric Pearl. He is the creator, the discoverer of The Reconnection. That is also the website, thereconnection.com. We're going to talk about a lot of interesting things, some events that you can participate in. So we encourage you to stay tuned and take note, because it can't hurt, I guarantee you. Dr. Eric Pearl, it's a pleasure to have you back on the program.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here again.
You know, this whole issue of healing never seems to end, but I'd like to take it to a new level. We could talk about what ails me, what ails you. I've got a broken leg, I've got cancer, I have this, I have that condition. Can we expand our perspective today and talk about our communities, our states, our nation, and for that matter, our planet, and how the reconnection ties into that?
Well, I'll tell you what. You lead, and I'll follow, and let's see where the dance takes us.
Okay. And that's exactly what happens. The universe takes over, and we just go where we go. I bring a case in point. There is a machine that was built over the course of I don't know how many years that sits in Switzerland. Actually, I believe it's on the Swiss-French border. It's called the Hadron Super Collider, and many people know that this machine is designed to, I believe it's collide electrons into one another to try to recreate the Big Bang, which I find fascinating in and of itself, that why scientists would want to do that, which has already been done. Because we may end up starting everything all over again, some people fear. But a comment was made to me on a program not too long ago that this accelerator, this spinning machine, kind of like a washing machine, if you will, because it's using energy, it's using magnetism, and it's spinning at such a high rate, it's having an adverse effect not only on the electromagnetic bodies of us as humans, and I would stretch that out to the animals and the plants for that matter, but on the planet itself. From your perspective, is that something that you feel man could actually create a machine that could have that kind of an effect on us as human beings, to where, as wonderful and as beautiful as the reconnection is and tapping into that conduit of divine energy to assist us in facilitating our healing, it could interfere with that process? What's your perspective on that?
Well, I was with you until you said, could it interfere with the process? And then the answer became no. It became yes before.
Okay.
Yes. By free choice, we can create anything that could affect our fields, maybe in a positive way if we know enough how to do so, otherwise in a not-so-wonderful way, negative way. And then will it affect or interfere with reconnective healing? No, it won't interfere with the healing process in doing what it's supposed to do. But you see, here it becomes a larger grasp of a philosophical concept.
Mm-hmm.
Reconnective healing is not reconnective treatment. It's not reconnective therapy. It's nothing that tiny, because treatment and therapy is symptom-based. It's based upon the signs that show themselves, you know, signs or symptoms that show themselves, and the signs or symptoms that we're able to see, and then based upon how we think we're supposed to be able to address it. That's why therapies and treatments function in that area. Reconnective healing is something much more comprehensive. Now, your question would make sense if we were talking about energy healing, Reiki, Jurei, Chin Chin, Qigong, Mahjong, Beijing, you know, Alpha, Beta, Delta, Gamma, and, you know, any of these mattress this and quantum that, you know, whatever we want to come up with. There are subsets of energy, and they are therefore, by being subsets, you know, I mean, Reiki feels different than Qigong because it acts differently, and it's a different subset. By being subsets, they're not complete, and they're easily adversely affected. Once you access the reconnective healing spectrum, you, as science calls it, you are accessing something that takes us beyond the subsets of energy and even beyond the entirety of energy into this spectrum of energy, light, and information. And the intelligence of the light allows for the perfection of the healing, but here it comes, according to what is right for that person on their life course. Now, that's not necessarily just an individual thing, because if we have elected to be here at a point in time where an atomic bomb lands on an area, then what is appropriate for us in our life course in that situation is part of the lesson of, for example, it's a horrible example, but you know what I mean, mm-hmm. that atomic bomb being mm-hmm. dropped at the time.
Right.
So therefore, we might think that everyone listening to this and looking at that person and loving that person might think that what they're supposed to do is be perfectly healed and no longer subject to the effects of the radiation, but you know what? That might not be their highest purpose. So, in other words, what might stop reconnective healing from working the way that we think it should and bringing about the result that we want? Well, let's see. Death, it might not bring the person back from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you burn them from head to toe, it might greatly enhance the healing, but it might not completely remove all the scarring. In other words, what's appropriate for that person and why? Why did they take it on? For their own lessons, for the lessons of their loved ones as they go through things? Nothing from what we can see can interfere with the reconnective healing spectrum. Howsoever, we have to not be focused on the specific end result that we think is appropriate, but instead be focused on the process and allow ourselves to observe without judgment.
And that's a hard one. We're going to talk about that when we come back from break, because that is, for many of us, a mental and emotional struggle that we make because we've been trained to focus on the outcome. We'll talk more with Dr. Eric Pearl, the creator of The Reconnection. That is the website, TheReconnection.com. Heal others, heal yourself. There's also a conference and a workshop that's coming up. We're going to talk about that as well. And later on in the program, we're going to have our, I like to call her my astronomical assignment editor. Beth McDonald will be calling in with a short little report for us about what's going on in the stars, so to speak, and we'll find out more here on Tell Me Your Story. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Stewart, and I'm here to help you. An appraisal of your art and antiques may be the best investment you can make today. You know, after the fires, folks were concerned about their valuables and asked what was the best way to protect them for insurance purposes. You need an appraisal to determine value. When you plan your trust and will, and you want to give treasured art and antiques to your family, you need an appraisal to determine value and be fair. When you want to sell art or antiques in this fluctuating market, you need an appraisal to determine value. When you need help selling something for the highest value, you need an appraisal. And when you have inherited art and antiques and want to know what you have, you need an appraisal. I'm Elizabeth Stewart, a certified appraiser for these past 20-odd years, and I can help. An appraisal is less expensive than you think and may be the best investment in these times. The first consultation is free, so call me at 805-895-5005 and check out my radio show on AM 1290.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share. A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and fast forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
Your story, new paradigms for a new world. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you for staying with us, both myself and Dr. Eric Pearl, as we talk about the reconnection. And Doctor, you have two special events that are coming up. The first one, October 1st through the 3rd, which is the reconnection. Basically, this is the teaching program where people can learn how to use this wonderful, and again, if I'm using the wrong words, correct me, process, technique, energy to...
It's a healing approach that allows us to completely transcend our techniques.
Okay.
Part of the beauty of it.
All right. So this is an approach.
And it's the best word we can come up with.
And that's a good one. That's a good one. It's beyond modality, folks. So anyway, so tell us a little bit about this workshop, and then there's a conference follow-up with some pretty notable folks that following weekend.
Yeah, well, what's happening is at the Hilton Universal City, Los Angeles, we'll be having a conference October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, not a conference, the conference is next weekend. We'll be giving a seminar, a workshop, so you can learn how to access reconnective healing for yourselves. What occurs is that on that Friday night, the 1st, we'll give a presentation, talk about the history of this, how it evolved, the theory, the scientific research behind it. We'll bring some volunteers up from the audience to show live demonstrations of the healing so you can see the reality of it. And we'll also give everyone, each of you, an opportunity to feel this in your hands. Saturday and Sunday, however, are part of a two-day, full-day learning workshop. It's a working seminar. So what I mean by that is don't come if you think we're all going to sit around, hold hands, om, and sing Kumbaya, My Lord, because it won't happen that way. What will happen is there'll be a stage in the center of the room, chairs on one side, massage tables on the other. We'll demonstrate a level of the work from the stage, and then we'll all go to massage tables in groups of two or four. I will walk around to each of the massage tables, and so will our trained teaching staff, and we'll work with you to show you how to be able to access this new, more comprehensive healing spectrum, how to be able to feel it and tune it in. And you'll start to notice that as soon as you allow yourself to tune in and feel this in your hands, you'll most likely see the person who's lying on the massage table in front of you go into involuntary motions. Maybe in the beginning what will happen most likely is the eyes will rapidly dart back and forth, maybe one eye even going at a different speed than the other. As we show you how to tune in a different portion of it and feel it, you'll start to see different movements go on, maybe tiny little involuntary muscles in the face or the neck that couldn't be moved intentionally, or the fingers will start or the feet. As you begin to recognize that when you tune in and feel this, this happens, when you tune in and feel that, you see that happen on the person on the table, you start to correlate what you're doing, what you're feeling, with the response that's going on. And this shows you how to bring this person into a very expansive healing state. Then we'll go back to the tables, to the chairs. We'll explain what's going on. We'll talk about it a little bit. We'll demonstrate the next level. We'll go back to the tables. And this will be what the weekend is like. But I can pretty much promise you that by the end of one weekend, not a year, not 6 months, one weekend, by Sunday the 3rd, you will be able to facilitate anything in the way of healing that I can, just as well, if not better. And you will be able to facilitate anything in the way of healing that any human being on this planet is able to access and bring through, whether they changed their last name of God and moved to a church in Brazil, or whether they were raised by monks in a cave in a mountaintop in Tibet and fed grains of seed, each one individually ridden up on the back of a pack llama. In other words, it doesn't matter the story we create.
That's
you
true.
Know, whether we make up something about a girl being lost in the Russian woods and everyone runs out to pay money to buy little pieces of wood to wear around their neck. It doesn't matter the story we create. What matters is our willingness to come back into our center enough to transcend the stories. Because what happens with reconnective healing is that it's not a subset of energy healing. It's not a modality, as you said. It's a genre, its own genre, its own field of healing that's so comprehensive that it takes us beyond energy into a spectrum of energy, light, and information in ways that we have not seen, according to scientists, here on this planet before. And what this allows us to do is to completely, completely transcend any and all of our energy healing techniques, old or even the new ones that come out every 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, to work more easily and yet bring about healings that are much more dramatic, fairly instantaneously in most situations, and generally tend to last for that person's lifetime. The challenge to receive that gift is whether or not we're willing to transcend our energy healing techniques.
Yeah.
Challenge.
We get attached.
Yeah. We get attached because we're associated with it, because people think that we're great, and we accept the feedback as if we're doing it. You know, aren't you wonderful? You're only a Reiki 2. He's a Reiki 3. I'm a Reiki 674. Shambhala, tra-la-la. And the point is that, well, you know, people say to me, well, if I transcend my energy healing techniques, how will I honor my teacher? And truthfully, your teacher, you will honor your teacher by doing so, but your teacher might not choose to recognize the honor if your teacher is a teacher. Howsoever, if you've learned through a master, your master knows that that is the only way you can honor that person. The only way we can honor a master is by transcending the technique, because mastering energy healing techniques allows us to master energy healing techniques.
Yeah.
But only once we transcend the technique do we truly master healing, just like mastering the bicycle with training wheels allows us to master the bicycle with training wheels.
Yeah.
But only once we transcend or remove the training wheels can we ever master the bicycle.
I remember an experience back in Phoenix where I was participating with my wife in a class that she'd been involved in with for years. And, of course, I'd never done any of this kind of stuff, and you'd kind of listed some of these things as well. And we were doing, I guess it was Tai Chi or something, and, of course, I was not able to follow along the movements. And the instructor basically said, don't worry about the form. Just let the energy take you. And so whatever form you come up with, So I mean, I couldn't get attached to the form because I didn't know what it was anyway, but at least right. I was given the freedom not to have to focus on the form. And that's really what you're saying, is that we do, whether it's traditional medicine or alternative medicine, whatever name you want to give to it, we get hooked on the form instead of...
Right.
Yeah.
You're right. But he gave you that freedom.
Yeah.
He didn't give everyone that freedom.
You know, that's interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way. Another question for you in regards to the reconnection. Now, it implies that at one point we were connected and now we're getting reconnected?
Yes, and in order to understand more of this, we have to allow ourselves to move past our concept of time. Let's back up for a minute. We talked about challenges, gifts, and rewards. We explained that, you know, the gift of this is that it allows us to transcend the energy healing techniques, and the challenge is whether or not we're willing to. In answering this question, we'll also find that insight that that shows us that the gift of reconnective healing is that it allows us to completely demystify the healing process.
Mm.
That's the gift, that's the reward. But the challenge is whether or not we are willing to. And if we're not willing to transcend our techniques and do less and bring about more for the people who come to see us, we need to ask ourselves why. And if we're not willing to allow the healing process to be completely demystified so that it's clear and transparent for everyone, we need to ask ourselves why. And if we're not willing to ask ourselves why, then we really need to ask ourselves why we're not willing to ask ourselves why, because therein lies the limitation or the access to our own mastery. Now, reconnection, to me, it also, that name didn't make sense in the beginning.
Okay.
Why would we be reconnecting when this seemed apparently so clear and new? And as we look at this, you know, I realized that I was going to go with the word because it's the word that came in with this, even though I didn't fully understand it. And sometimes we have to go with what we don't understand. As we look at this, and as different people throughout history, philosophy, and the scientists today are explaining and giving us further insight into everything here, as the scientists have explained it to us, has been energy. And we have been existing in a four-dimensional world. We recognize the three dimensions of height, width, and depth, and we considered ourselves three-dimensional. Einstein demonstrated the fourth dimension that we're still existing in, being time, in the 1950s, and science formally accepted it in the year 2000. And in quantum physics, they illustrate this four-dimensional existence of ours here as a bubble. So it's imagined as a tiny little bubble in this huge, vast, endless expansive universe. And within our bubble, everything's been energy, and the wall or cell of our bubble has been height, width, depth, and time. But suddenly, we find today that time is moving faster in all directions at once. In other words, it's expanding, which means that our playground or our bubble is expanding further and further out into the universe. So it is now encompassing more of what has always existed in the universe, so has been timeless. But what is new to us here on the planet. So we are reconnecting to what has been out there and where we come from, that light between our lifetimes. But we are not reconnecting to something that we had here in this four-dimensional existence and lost. Now, this royally pisses off a lot of the people in the spiritual community.
Yeah.
Because they want everything to be old, because the New Age ego wants everyone to run around and say, yes, I remember this from my past life in Atlantis or Lemuria when I was Cleopatra. And you know what? Guess what? Sometimes something is just new.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
We are also here for new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. My guest is Dr. Eric Pearl, and we're talking about the reconnection. And there is a workshop or seminar that is going on the 1st through the 3rd of October. And that is happening at what location?
It will be at the Universal Studios, the Hilton Hotel, October 1, 2, and 3 of October, and the following weekend, October 8, 9, and 10, we'll be having our conference there, including speakers such as, Bruce Lipton will be there, and so will, John Holland will be speaking there with us. Terry Cole Whitaker will be there also, as well as Joe Dispenza, Danian Brinkley, Raymond Moody, and Dr. William Tiller.
Some big names, and you can find out more by going to TheReconnection.com. There's also a phone number, 323-960-0012. That's 323-960-0012. And again, that's TheReconnection.com. This is Tell Me Your Story, and we're here discussing healing others, healing ourselves. Now, I think that's interesting the way that that's placed, and that's been that way from the beginning. That
intentionally,
yeah, because we need to help others, and in turn we receive the assistance, the support, the help, the energy, the healing that we need in our lives. I mean, it just seems that that's kind of the way of I want to say it's the natural order of things, because what there's something that I'm experiencing, Eric, that I'm observing, and it has me in a quandary. Because I'm watching where I live up in an area where there's nature. I mean, I have chickens, dogs, cats, and I see bears, and I see bats flying through the sky at night, and crows, and I mean, just a myriad of things. And I often hear from other people that the best way for us to sort of get our bearings is to get back to nature. I mean, that's a real big help, to get back to nature, to get back to the roots of who and what we really are. And I sometimes wonder if the systems that we've created in this world are going so far against nature that they've pulled us in a direction that we had, that as a species, we were never intended to go. And that we're going, some people say we've crossed that point of no return, we've stepped over the abyss, and so on and so forth. I don't believe that. I'm just wondering, from your perspective, when you talk about the reconnection, is it part of, or is it the law of nature? Is this part of the natural law of things, the way that things are supposed to be?
The laws of the universe is what we understand more and more when we stop talking and listen, when we stop doing and observe. This is part of the gift of stepping out of transcending beyond, transcending the energy healing techniques. Now, I know I keep coming back to this, but that's because it's very important, and we have to hear it different ways to get it, and sometimes it needs to be painted in different forms. You know, our approaches to healing have been doing. And by doing, we're so busy with what we're doing and thinking and trying to do that we're not necessarily observing the laws of nature, the laws of the universe. So, you know, our energy healing people come in, they say, you know, I saw that one of the chakras was moving counterclockwise, so I spun it clockwise. I saw that there was an area of red in the auric field that didn't belong there, so I removed the red. I found an area, all the energy was flowing freely except in an area where there was a density and a congestion, so I removed it. Aren't I wonderful? And we run around all puffed up because of what we have done. However, sometimes we have to stop doing to see, stop talking to hear. If we watch, just watch, the intelligence of the universe. We use an example I use quite often, the opening on Friday nights. Take an athlete. An athlete injures him or herself. Let's say a football player injures his knee. What happens? There's heat, there's swelling, there's redness, there's an alteration in function, and there's pain. The pain is the knee calling up in the body's telephone system saying, help, 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 there's damage down here. So the redness and temperature change comes from an increase of blood flow to the area that washes away the damaged tissue. and then there's swelling that comes in, congestion, density, as the knee is bathed in healing nutrient fluids so that it limits the motion so you don't damage the weakened joint as it allows new healthy cells to reproduce. There's an area of pain that's set up around it to limit your movement, so if you try to overwork the joint, it reminds you to, hey, knock it off. The process stays on, color changes continue, temperature changes, other things happen, and when it's all complete and back to normal, the knee and the brain say thank you very much, and they hang up and they go on with life.
I like that.
Now, sure. Now, what is that really except the manifestation of the perfect intelligence of God, of love, of the universe, pick the word you're happiest with, demonstrating itself through the innate functions, the innate intelligence of each individual human body. Now, if we can understand that, then the next question becomes, is the intelligence of the universe any less intelligent off the body than it is within the body? In other words, when that energy healing technique practitioner decides to spin certain chakras that look like they're going in, you know, counterclockwise, tries to move them clockwise, what makes them think that some of them aren't going counterclockwise to serve an intelligent function? Mm. When they come in and they see an area of red in the auric field, if that's what they see colors, and they remove the red because they think it doesn't belong, what makes them think it's performing any less of an intelligent function than the redness that came about from the increased blood supply? What makes them think that when they come in and they decide to remove the area of congestion and density, and decide they've done a right job because everything flows freely again, what makes them think that that congestion and density was serving as any less of an intelligent function than the healing nutrient fluids that have the knees swollen and protected and bathed? In other words, we need to hear what that approach is saying, and it's time that we put words to it that we can hear, maybe in an imaginary human voice. What that practitioner is saying at that point, well-intentioned as they may be, is, thanks a lot, God. You've done a pretty swell job with most of the universe. But look, you missed these spots. Right? Let me fix them for you. By the way, here's my pink business card with all the rainbows and the fairies. It lists all the various techniques that I've mastered. Feel free to call on me anytime you'd like so I can be of help again. I would love to stay and chat a little bit longer, but I've got just enough time to make it to my computer, email everyone I've ever met to let them know what I have just accomplished for you, and still make it to the class that I'm teaching tonight on how to transcend your ego. By the way, God, you might want to come. There's always something for everyone to learn.
Oh, I love that. First of all, your description of the healing process was beautiful. It made me also think of, as a child, I was down, maybe with the flu, whatever it was, and I was laying in bed, and my sister, one of my sisters and my mother came walking in the room, and I was laying there moaning. And my sister said to my mother, please make him stop, he sounds terrible. My mother said to her, no, that's how he heals himself. And I have shared that technique with everybody who is hurting. If you feel like moaning, there's something about the, and your body will pick the right tone, okay? It's not always the same. I've noticed that going through my life. But there's something about that vibration of the body that, if nothing more, it's great for the psyche. You know, at least I feel better mentally and emotionally. I may not be feeling better physically, but I'll take what I can get at the time while the body is healing. And your description of the healing, I mean, I've had that happen with my ankle, with my knee, with my wrist. And I know that when certain parts of the body start to heat up, oh, there's healing going on there. I just know that. You know, I'm not afraid of it. I don't try to stop it. And so, again, going back to what you've said, we get attached to our modalities. Yes, we get attached to our ego-centered methodologies and what we've been taught. And it really does go back to, and it's fascinating to me, this actually ties more into the whole aspect of the laws of the universe, the laws of nature, and that there is no ego when you are dealing with the laws of the universe, or you're dealing with that divine intelligence, universal power, whatever you want to call it. There's no ego there. It's almost, I'm going to do this for you, and I don't care. I mean, in the sense that I'm just going to do it. I gain nothing I lose nothing, but that's what I'm here to do. You know, and that's the way I perceive it. Is that a good perspective to take of all of this? I'm just here.
I mean, I feel it is. You know, people have been saying to me, well, for the first 3 years after I wrote the book, people were saying to me, when are you going to write another book? And I said, as soon as I recover from writing this one. Well, after a few years, I couldn't keep using that excuse. So people said, when are you going to write another book? And I said, I told them the truth. I said, when I have something else to say. Meanwhile, you can read this book 6 times or 12, and you'll find something new each time.
Yeah,
I said,
absolutely.
So go back and read it a second or third time. But I have now decided that I am intending to, my plan is that I will stay home January through the end of April and put together a second book, because there's consciousness insights that we need to have, and there's information that some of us knows how it got here, and I'm not going to take up too much time explaining it, but I'll give you a little bit of it that I thought of when you said what you just said. You know, how can you tell at the end of a session, people want to know, well, was that a good session? As if there are bad sessions. No one has bad sessions. They're all good, but they're in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as a practitioner, sometimes we assess the session on whether or not we get the goal we think that they should have. It all has to do with whether you have accomplished the goal or not accomplished the goal. That's what has to do with our interpretation. It does become relative, sort of. In other words, as a practitioner, if you set out a certain goal in a session and you impose that end goal on the session, this person will walk away at the end of the session, and if they don't receive that goal, you consider it a bad session. Based on that telescopic viewpoint of what you put that goal on, what goal you put on that particular session, if you didn't achieve your goal that you attended at the beginning of the session, you rate it as not good. But from another perspective, let's look at it this way. Maybe there was another kind of insight that was gained that had nothing to do with the goal that we as the practitioner impose on the session. From this perspective, then it becomes a good session. The problem is as we place things as good or bad, that's where the value judgments come in. If we define success at the beginning of the session, that by the end of the session, such and such is going to happen, and if it doesn't happen, you've allowed yourself to think that you've failed. But it doesn't always work that way, because some of us might need the health challenges that we came in with for our own lessons, some for the lessons of others, some to give love, some to get love.
Yeah.
What we need to recognize is that healing is about bringing the person into a state of balance. And then our true gift as the healing practitioner is to observe and see how the intelligence of the universe, the universal laws and principles, how that determines the perfected healing, because that light is what allows us to bring about even greater healings in our next session and in our next.
I think that the attitude of gratitude, thank you for allowing me to be part of the process, universal intelligence. You know, it wasn't, I didn't do this. You did this. And I think that that is, you know, staying in that state of grace, if you will, again, as you say, allows for further healing and further healing and further healing.
Let me share some information with you that I'm going to be putting into the next book in different. Let's just see where it takes us. How's our timing for this?
We have about 10 minutes.
Here we go. Listen to this as if it's coming from another dimension, because, well, frankly, it is. And listen to this voice as if it's speaking directly to you, because, quite frankly, it is. And me too. Your heart is coming here to understand a deeper sense of your truth. You need to recognize your artist in the space that is allowing you to illustrate your greater being. Your feelings now are being carried through on a different plane. Your energy exists in this sphere of influence that is central to your understanding of a different sphere of influence. You're allowed to carry yourself in this plane. Isn't that fascinating? You're allowed to carry yourself in this plane. It's as if we're given free will to experience life in different ways and different planes. And our understanding of the sphere of influence is central to our understanding of a different sphere. You will find that there is a greater facility for recognizing the needs of those you come into contact with. Feel your life carry its force in a varied and multidimensional direction. There is a lot that needs to be said in various ways. We understand ourselves in a limited fashion, and we need to carry this understanding as a life process. It is the unveiling of multifaceted force within our life. We need to peel away the exterior so that the internal being shines through to those we come in contact with. This eternal soul that resides within our framework is being covered up in many ways by our apprehension. In your work, that is what you need to do to unveil your soul. It is not a simple process. And this stripping away of ego is an eternal process. This selflessness that must shine through the being that can reach in without interference. And once that pure force shines through, without it being refracted by various mindsets. In other words, once we allow ourselves to truly observe without judgment or interpretation or trying to figure out the hows, whats, wheres, and why, once that pure force shines through, without it being refracted by various mindsets, it will flow in a more direct manner because it is in that amplitude that works directly into the being you're coming into contact with. We all operate on various different forms of frequencies. Once you allow your soul, that egoless purity, to come through, that is almost a common denominator, in that it has the ability to automatically fuse with the frequency of the person you're coming in contact with. So your job in this process is to strip away the defense, strip away the mind, strip away the control mechanisms that you have in this plane. Let them go. Let them be a part of an exterior that has nothing to do with you. And present that soul in the room. It will automatically do the work. That energy is the common universal language of the cosmos. It is understood immediately and felt intrinsically.
Wow. I'm going to have to go back and listen to that again. I kid you not.
I'm going to do a day of this. When we do the conference, October 1, 2, and 3. I'm sorry. Our teaching seminar to learn this work is October 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. When we give our conference, October 8, 9, and 10, technically the conference begins with John Holland opening up Friday night the 8th. But daytime before that, starting at 10 in the morning, we're going to give something I'm calling Light and Information, Secrets and Insights from Another Dimension. And that will be a day where I'm sharing this information. Doug DeVita will open up sharing some of the science, and then we'll move into this information and just really immerse ourselves in this, because this information just seems to vibrate all of the densities out of us and vibrate us in to a space of expansion of light.
Wow. I mean, it just opens up so many doors in my mind to go in so many different directions right now, which I am not going to do at this point. But it's just incredible. I mean, it actually starts to answer the query that I have been facing for the last, I'm going to say the last 6 months. And I remember interviewing a woman back in January, and this question was in the back of my mind and would not go away. And I'm going, no, this is, in my mind, I'm going, this is not appropriate for this interview. But my theme of doing these shows is, they're not my questions. I let the universe ask the questions. And it's like, okay, it's not going away until you ask the question, until you put it out there. And so I did. I said, what is humanity's purpose here? Not on a higher level kind of thing, you know. We went to the moon. We put a man on the moon back in the 60s. That was sort of the higher purpose we had back then. We haven't had one since. What is it that we want to achieve here? Or do we even want to be here in 50 or 100 or 1,000 years? So you know what? I'm going to put that question to you. Why in the Sam Hill are we as human beings, as a species, why are we here? What's our purpose?
To learn. As old souls, as new souls, to cycle through our lifetimes, to learn, to experience, to experience in different forms, different disguises or illusions that make us appear separate and individual so that we can discover oneness again.
It kind of gives a whole new meaning to the reconnection, I'll be honest with you.
Of course. Because it's not that it's a new meaning. It's just another way that we might be choosing to understand it.
Yeah. Yeah. Eric Pearl's my guest. We're talking about The Reconnection. His website, TheReconnection.com. That's TheReconnection.com. If you'd like more information about the conference, the workshop that's coming up the first weekend in October, 1, 2, and 3, and then the conference, the workshop's the first part of the month, and then the second weekend was at 8, 9, and 10. You have a conference, and you can find out by going to TheReconnection.com or calling 323-960-0012, 323-960-0012. We will return in just a moment with Dr. Eric Pearl.
You know me, Elizabeth Stewart, and let me tell you a personal secret. I am so grateful to the Santa Barbara Newcomers Club because through this 50-year-old, distinctly Santa Barbara institution, I made friends, drank wine, heard lectures, danced, discovered great art, and experienced Santa Barbara history. If you're a newcomer to Santa Barbara, be part of the best-kept secret in town. Make friends that I personally guarantee you will have for life.
But those dreams have remained and they've turned around.
You moved here because life is beautiful in Santa Barbara. Let newcomers show you just how deep and rich our community is. I understand value and culture, and this is an amazing club. For more information on the Santa Barbara Newcomers Club, call 805-564-2555.
Welcome back.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
Till I got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Well, close. Yes, very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the first thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
Empties out as you go. Oh, walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my very best to understand you.
We're talking with and understanding although I have to say I'm going to have to go back and listen to this program again, Eric, because what you shared with us at the end of the last segment, just it didn't go over my head. It went through it, and I don't know what it took with it, but it was a good thing from my perspective, and I thank you for sharing that and giving us an insight into what you have coming up, working on this book, starting with 2011, January through, what, March or April? And we want to have you back on then to expound even further. I mean, I feel like we've gotten a sort of a sneak peek at what to expect.
Well, you have. So let's focus on this. First thing, I think, would be great for those of us who truly want to bring about our own healing, or even more so, bring about healing to others, then hopefully we will see you October 1, 2, and 3 at the Reconnective Healing Seminar. There will be a few other seminars in the U.S. before the end of the year. I'm just teaching a couple of them. By the way, the ones that are given in Los Angeles and in Miami will be translated simultaneously into Spanish, if that helps. And they'll also, so we'll have Miami, we'll have Los Angeles. I'm going to be teaching also in Buenos Aires. And I believe there's a Philadelphia seminar also coming up. So if you go to thereconnection.com, you can find the seminar schedule. Also, if you come to Los Angeles, you can, and to attend the conference, level 1, 2, and 3, there are wonderful speakers there who we mentioned, including Danian Brinkley, John Holland, Joe Dispenza, Bruce Lipton, Raymond Moody, who's, you know, pioneered life after death experiences, Dr. William Tiller, Terry Cole Whitaker. And if you let us know in advance that you'll be either at the level 1, 2 seminar first weekend or the conference the next weekend, and call our office or email us, you might have an opportunity to participate in research being done by some major important researchers internationally, including Dr. William Tiller, possibly Dr. Gary Schwartz, and Konstantin Kuratkov, and some others.
And of course, we only have a couple of minutes left, and I mean, there's so many other areas that I'm thinking of. You were involved with the movie The Living Matrix, with Lynn McTaggart, and so many other notable folks, and you just travel the world sharing this, I'll just call it the good news, if you will.
Don't call it the good news. That's too much baggage related
okay.
to other
All right.
things.
Forget I said that. I'll take that.
We are having a conference in Italy. Also in November, for any of your listeners who might be based out of there, which includes J.J. Hertog, who wrote The Keys of Enoch, Lynn McTaggart, who you mentioned, who wrote The Field, Rory Martina, Raymond Booty will also be there, so will Danian Brinkley and Konstantin Kuratkov and other people. So there will be something there as well. But, you know, if you want, let me leave you with this one little other thought of insight as we want to expand.
About 30 seconds.
Okay. It is your existence that will promulgate a different understanding of relationships on this plane. You will feel your heart reach out to those on a grand scale. It is here for your understanding. We want you to recognize that we are within you to accomplish great good in this space.
Fantastic. And what you do is you bring the reconnection. And there's a .com after that if you want to check out the work that he's doing and the workshops, the seminars, the conferences, whether they're in the United States or whether they're abroad. We encourage you to check out the reconnection. And Dr. Eric Pearl, I want to thank you for taking so much time to share with us, and also your patience with putting up with me and, and some of the things you do here. It's been
very
fabulous.
Funny. And yours for me, too.
Okay.
It's been my pleasure. I look forward to seeing you again soon.
I hope so. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices. Go to richarddugan.com to listen to this program once we get it up there. Until next Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific time, love to all.